Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you for worshiping with us here today. Grace Point in person, also online. A lot of people still worshiping online, so we're thankful that you've joined us also online as well as in person here at Grace Point Church. We have a lot of things happening, a lot of things to do today, so I want to kind of jump right into it. First of all, Easter is quickly approaching, so we have four more Sundays and it's here. So I want to share with you kind of the Easter schedule and what we're doing this year, so you can start making plans and make plans to be a part of our services that weekend. So we will have five services Easter weekend. Good Friday at 6 o'clock, and as every year, the Good Friday service is different than the other four. Good Friday, we go to the cross. We will be taking the Lord's Supper on Good Friday, and in addition, we also have, and I'll talk more about this next week, but we have the speed painter coming who's going to be a part of the service that I think you'll really enjoy. Next week, I'm going to show you a video of that. I have too much to do today, so but I'm looking forward to it'll be a great time gathering together on Good Friday at 6 o'clock here. And then Saturday at 4 o'clock. Now, this year, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, we've had the helicopter ebb drop, where we literally will have about 2,000 people and 20,000 eggs. But this year, you know, we feel like we need to wait another year before we do that. So next year we're doing 2 helicopters and 500,000 eggs. So just make plans to be here. It's going to be amazing. We're not doing that this year with the egg drop. Just, you know, we feel like it's a little bit pushing that a little bit if we do it this year. We will be having a service on Friday at 4 o'clock. So I hope you'll come and be a part of that. So Friday will be the same as the three we have on Sunday. Different than Good Friday, but it'll be the first of our Easter, you know, resurrection messages there. So Saturday at 4 o'clock, and then Sunday we'll have our 8, 9:30, and 11 o'clock services. So I hope you'll make plans to come and worship with us and be a part of Easter weekend here at Grace Point Church. It's coming quickly. Second, I want to mention just a practical thing. We have these shirts are out in the lobby right now. We sold out of these the first run, and so many of you have asked, so we have more out there in the lobby. So if you want one, let me encourage you to go by on your way out. Grace on the front has Ephesians 2:8 in the corner, and then on the back it has gracepointdenton.com. Okay, so we have more of those out there. I want to make you aware of that. Many have asked if you want to buy one of those. And then the bands also. So we ran out of the bands. The bands are out there too. They walk with God, 1 John 2:6, Grace Point 2021. So we talked about that kind of in the beginning. That's our prayer, is Grace Point Church, that people can say they walked with God. And so if you want one of those just as a reminder, I'd like to wear those just as a reminder, you can pick those up out in the lobby today also. So we've kind of restocked everything. Okay, so in just a minute, we're working verse by verse through the book of Colossians. I've been teaching through the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're going to start Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And then we're going to go Acts 9 and we're going to go Joshua 1. Okay, so there's a lot of work to do here today in this message. And we got to do a lot of groundwork before we come up and really understand how this applies to us and what we can take away with this. Okay, so we'll get to that in just a minute. Before we do that, though, I need to talk to you about the no mask mandate and where things are at with masks and no masks and how that relates to Grace Point Church. So you are well aware, I'm sure, Governor Abbott came out with the no mask are required in the state of Texas beginning Wednesday, March 10th. So we gathered this past Wednesday night as elders. I gathered with the elders and we wanted to talk about, you know, what does this mean for us at Grace Point Church? How do we respond to this? And I wanted to do that so I can communicate with you this morning in terms of the direction that we're going to go from here in terms of masks. So we met Wednesday night. I met with the elders, and there are four things that came from that meeting that I want to share with you today as we go forward with this. Number one, first of all, is actually a year ago. Last year at this time, this was our last live, you know, in-person worship, and then we moved to all online, like every church in the, you know, certainly in the city did. And we moved all online until the end of June. At that time, when masks started to be worn and masks were starting to be a thing, We met together as an elder body, and after talking through it a year ago, we decided that our decision-making process would be we will follow the state and local government guidelines. That was from day one when we started this thing a year ago. So when masks were starting, should we require masks, should we not? At that time, they were voluntary. Last year, when this first started. And so we gathered together, we agreed, you know, let's follow the state and local governments. And at that time, when it first began, they were voluntary. So we said, and I said to you as a church, masks are voluntary at that time. So if you want to wear one, please wear one. If not, that's okay. And then things changed and COVID, you know, got worse. And the governor came out and mandated that masks be worn, required wearing masks in the state of Texas. And so we gathered as an elder group, and we talked about this and said, yes, we need to stay with the state and local governments. We need to require everyone who comes to Grace Point to wear a mask. And so I came back to you, and I shared with you on this platform that from that point forward, because we are following the state and local governments, that we're going to require you to wear a mask when you come on campus here at Grace Point Church. And we've been wearing masks ever since that time. So with that as our decision-making process, then when we gathered together this past Wednesday, We looked at how we made decisions over the past year, and we want to be consistent, I think, with our leadership, and that is to follow the state and local governments and their decisions, which is now to no longer require masks beginning Wednesday, March the 10th. Therefore, we agreed to the body that beginning Wednesday, March 10th, that we will no longer require you to wear a mask when you come on campus here at Grace Point Church, starting Wednesday night. Some of you come for Wednesday night studies and activities, and then next Sunday, but starting Wednesday night. So that's the first thing I would say to you, that in line with the state and local government, as we've been doing this whole year, we're following their lead, and beginning Wednesday, March 10th, we'll no longer require masks here at Grace Point Church when you come on to the campus, number one. Number two, second, that being said, I want to be sure to communicate to you that if you want to wear a mask when you come, we strongly encourage you then to do that. If that's how you feel led, we want you to have the freedom to wear a mask. Okay, please hear me on that. We will continue to have masks at the entrance as people come in. You want to pick a mask up and wear that in. And if that's, you know, if you're not quite ready to come without a mask, you've been wearing a mask, then please feel free. We want to encourage you to wear that mask. Going forward, I'll continue to wear a mask for a while. The staff of Grace Point will continue to wear masks for the time being. Certainly, we are in contact with, you know, hundreds of people from the beginning of the first service till the end of the third service today, and so I feel like, and we all agree as leadership and staff and elders that you know, if I were, and I hope I don't, but if I were to come up with COVID, you know, tomorrow or next Monday or Tuesday or whatever, everybody I've come in contact with, hundreds of people today, I want to at least have a mask on. I think personally, then it's my way that I can protect you. So if that happens and you get that word, at least you know that I was wearing a mask. I think the same is true for all of our staff as we interact with a lot of people over the course of three services in all buildings every Sunday. And so we will be asking our staff to continue to wear masks for the time being. Now, hey, remember, okay, this isn't forever. It's not going to be forever. We're getting close. We're getting close, okay? Number three, moving forward, we believe, as an elder body, we believe that it is best if we continue in our preschool children's buildings and in our youth building, we continue to wear masks, okay? So we're asking our volunteers in our preschool children's building, along with our staff, to wear masks. We're asking our students and our student leaders to continue to wear masks in the youth building. The decision for that is based mostly on what the school districts are doing. And as we look at the number of school districts, you know, the ones we looked at, and most it appears, are continuing to require teachers and students to wear masks. So we feel like the wisdom is to follow that lead in respect to our children, from our students to our preschool and children in that building. So we're going to ask that people continue to wear masks. If you're voluntary in the children's building, and if you are in our student building, I know Nathan is getting ready. I don't know if it's this week or next week. Our student pastor has talked about they're going to be starting small groups up again. And so if you've ever been over in that building, let me tell you, those rooms are small, and small. So when he says small groups, he means small groups. And a lot of kids crammed in those small group rooms. And so wisdom, we feel like, is to continue to ask our kids. We're asking them. Hey, we just continue to wear a mask for now, and our leaders over there, okay? So, and the same is true with our Kids Zone Academy, our preschool, a weekday preschool ministry. Emily Henson leads that, we're asking the teachers there, our staff there, and the leaders, the teachers and staff of Kids Zone Academy to continue to wear masks for the time being, okay, as we continue to move forward. All right, last thing, number four. I know that everything I just said to you, not everybody in the course of three services and watching online, not everybody's going to agree with everything I just said. And I understand that. But from day one, last year, I said to you, we can agree to disagree and still love one another. Everybody say amen to that? Amen. Okay, we can agree to disagree. I understand. Trust me, as soon as Governor Abbott brought that thing down, and made that new mask, no mask mandate. There were some people who said it's about time, and there were others who were saying it's too soon. I heard from all, from both sides, and I understand. I do. I understand those who say, want to continue to wear a mask. I understand those who say, I'm tired of wearing a mask. And so the key to this whole thing, this whole last year, as I said from day one, is I, as your pastor, and I know you, I'm not going to let this divide us as a church. And it hasn't. This last year, and going forward, it's not going to divide us as a church. The whole key to this is that we show grace for everyone. Amen? Grace for everyone. If you want to wear a mask and you come in, please wear a mask as you come in. And those who feel like we should be wearing masks, then we don't want to be critical of those who are not wearing a mask. Those who are not wearing masks don't need to be critical of those wearing a mask. We're letting everybody choose, really, at this point, if you want to wear a mask or if you don't want to wear a mask. But the whole key to this thing is that grace, and more grace. And you've done well with that this last year. We're not going to let this thing be a divisive issue. I'm giving you the direction. This is the direction we're going to go as a church, from myself and staff and our elder leadership. And I think it's a good direction. So be kind, be respectful to everyone, whatever side or opinions that they have. And if you're not, and I hear about it, I'm going to put you in ICS. You know what that is? In church suspension. You're going to have to listen to me preach for 8 hours, okay? And you know I can go 8 hours. You know that. But be kind, be gracious, be loving. We'll get through this. Hey, and let's not forget, I think if we're not careful, what a great opportunity for us as Christians to be light in darkness. For us to be able to respond with grace to others that have different views than us. Because there are a lot of people that are not having that grace out there on this issue. And so it's a great opportunity for us to be able to show grace, not just to us in here, but also to other people. So I think it's a great, really it's a great ministry opportunity as we go forward. And let's not forget the main thing. Let's just not forget how far God has brought us. Amen. When you think about last year at this time, what we were heading into, and you remember as a church online every week, we were praying, not every week, every other week, we were praying for God to heal our land. We were praying for God to give a vaccine. We were praying for wisdom for our land. We were playing all those things. And here we are. And I think we're not far from this thing. I think summer's going to look radically different. I think fall is going to be beautiful. But we have to keep the main thing, be thankful for what God has done for us this last year. Because I'm telling you, Grace Point Church has not just survived. Grace Point Church has thrived this last year. Through ministry opportunities, through your tithes and offerings, we've had some of the biggest giving months in the history of the church. It's been amazing what God's done this last year. So let's not forget that. Let's keep the main thing, and the main thing is always Jesus. Amen? That's the main thing. And I know as we move forward, it'll all work out well for the glory of God. If you have any questions about this, I stand at the back door after each service now. And I had stopped because of COVID, but last week I started standing back there. So I'll be back there at the door. You're welcome to come and talk to me about that after the service. Or you can send me an email to my email address, pastorguy@gracepointdenton.com. is my email address. That'll get it right to me. No, Pastor Dave, you know, I'm not running from it. Pastor Dave at gracepointdenton.com. You email me and I truly will be glad to talk to you about it. If you want to know how we arrived at some of these decisions, you want to share your opinions, your thoughts on it, I certainly welcome that. That's fine, okay? But I'm excited as we move forward into greater days that God has for us ahead. I've been talking to you about vision. And I shared with you 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, I don't remember, the vision for Grace Point Church. And I gave you, if you remember, 18 vision statements in that message, supporting the overall vision, which is to have a radical impact on the city of Denton and beyond with the gospel of Jesus by going deeper in our faith and wider in our influence. So our vision is that the truth of the gospel message radically transforms people's lives. That's the vision. That's the heart. So these 18 vision statements kind of hold that thing up and kind of help us to fulfill that main vision. Each week I've been coming back and sharing each one a week with you that I've preached on all of them. And so each week I'm just coming back to give you one for the next 18 weeks, right? And today is vision statement number 5, just to keep vision before you. We talked about how important vision is. So vision statement number 5, which I shared and preached a few weeks ago, it is the vision that Grace Point Church stands firmly on the belief that the Bible is God's word. It is without error, it is inspired, and everything in it is true. It is our standard for living, our guide for life, and we choose to submit to its authority. And while everything in this world is fleeting and changing, we believe that God's word never changes. It's our vision that we continue to hold that belief and that truth at Grace Point Church, the truth of what we believe about God's word. So, as we look to God's word today, and we go to Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, I want to read that. I taught on this last week, and the thing we learned last week is we learned about what it means to walk by faith from this verse. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, where he says this, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So we stopped right there, and we said, okay, what does that mean? As you received him, walk that way. How did you receive him? You received him by grace through faith. So you received him by grace through faith. So then we are to walk by faith. That should characterize your life and mine. And that's what he says. As you received him, which is by grace through faith, so walk in him. And then verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. There it is. It's just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And we finished with that last week, that we need to guard our hearts' gratitude. And I'll show you the scriptures about that, that how guarding our heart with gratitude radically impacts the way we live, the things we say, the way we act, the things that we do. Walking by faith. So as I was thinking about that this past week, I wanted to take a little bit of a detour because I thought, well, what are some things that keep us from walking by faith? Why don't we walk by faith? And one of the key things, I think, that keeps us from walking by faith is fear. That there are times when we let fear rule or reign in our hearts, and it keeps us from moving forward in faith. And really, our hearts are constantly torn between faith and fear. And if we're not careful, fear can have this real stronghold on our life that keeps us, certainly it keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us standing still. And sometimes we even wind up moving backwards because we're afraid. It can even be small things. It can be big things. Faith and fear collide in your heart. Maybe more often than you think. I know it is for me as I start to look at this and understand more what it means to walk by faith and not live in fear. So maybe, for example, maybe we're afraid of what our neighbors or coworkers might think, so we keep quiet about our faith. Maybe we're afraid of what others will think in our small group, that we're not smart or we don't know much, so we don't ask the questions in the small group over our Bible study material. Maybe we're afraid of failure, so we don't step out in faith and use the gifts God has given us. Maybe we're afraid of what people may think if they really get to know us. And so we're not vulnerable. We're not open because we're afraid. Maybe we're afraid of the future because it's unknown. And we don't know where or how certain things may or may not end. And we can go on and on. So what are you afraid of? Maybe there's something you're wrestling with. Maybe I'm afraid I won't the healing won't come, or maybe I'm afraid I'll never get back to what would be considered normal, or maybe I'll never, you know, we have these fears, and these fears, sometimes, I know for me, a lot of times they can grab a hold, get a grip and stronghold in my life and keeps me from really walking, Colossians 2, by faith. So what is the answer? Faith collides with fear in our lives more than we think. And here's what happens many times is our, what I would call our confessional theology collides with our functional theology. So in other words, we confess and believe in the scriptures, but that translated into my life and the way I function in my life, it's not happening. So I have this confessional theology that I'm walking by faith and I live by faith and I believe the scriptures and I want to trust God and I want to do all these things. But then my functional theology, the way I go about living my life, doesn't look like that. As a matter of fact, then it's, we become what's called, you probably heard this term, a practical atheist. So a practical atheist is somebody who believes in God, but when it comes to the Word of God then being translated into their daily life practically in practical ways, this doesn't happen. So we confess it, but the way we function is as though we're lost people. And so when fear begins to rule my heart, that's what's happening. I have confessional theology, but it's not functional in my everyday life. And so we want to learn how to get past that, that whatever fear has come to your mind right now, most people sitting here, there's a fear that came to your mind when I said that. What are you afraid of? You're thinking of something. And it might be something you've been struggling with for years and years and years. It might be something that is small. It might be a big thing. But regardless, where you're at, Colossians 2 says, walk by faith. So how then do we do that? There's two people. Now look, we're going hard into the scriptures today. I'm going to read, we're going to go Acts 9. We're going to go Joshua 1. And a lot of scripture for this thing. And then I'm going to take it apart and share with you. I have to hurry because time's going to catch me. It did in the first service. So I'll move a little bit faster than I would like because there's a lot here. But I want you to be able to take away some things with you today that I hope can help you, you know, move forward in faith and not be controlled by fear. Ananias and Joshua. Those are the two people. There's a lot of different examples of people in the Bible who put faith over fear, but these are just two examples today that I want to show you. So I'm gonna go Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. I'm gonna read through verse 18. It'll take me a minute, and then we're gonna draw from this. Okay, so stay with me here. Verse 1, Acts 9, Paul, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, in other words, anybody who were Christ followers, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Okay, so this is Paul pre-conversion. Okay, Saul persecuting Christians. Okay, he's doing everything he can to take out the Christians. Now, verse 3. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, we talked about that before, that it's interesting that Jesus is, why are you persecuting me when he's persecuting the Christ followers? What we learned is Jesus takes that personally when people persecute you for your faith. Why are you persecuting me? And he said, "Why? Who are you, Lord?" And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by his hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Okay, now, here's Ananias. Here's who we're going to focus on today, faith over fear. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. So here's the fear rising up. Jesus' response initially, it was legitimate too, by the way, justifiable. Verse 15, we'll get there in a minute. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he has chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Verse 17, so Ananias departed and entered the house and laid his hands on him. He said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. The conversion of Paul, Saul to Paul. Now, here's the deal. Let's go to the takeaways. Ananias had every right to be afraid. And that's takeaway number one if you're taking notes. Every day, fear and faith and fear collide in your heart. I think you just don't realize what's happening. And that's what I hope talking about it today helps you realize what's happening and then helps you process it biblically well. So every day, in some ways, it can even be small ways. Faith and fear collide in your heart. Now look at the collision back up in chapter 9, verse 11. Okay, if I go back, this is the collision. This is what I'm talking about. And the Lord said to him, talking to Ananias, rise and go to the street called Straight into the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. Okay, so that's God is saying, do this. And just like God may say to you, and I'm not talking about audibly, but you feel impressed or from his word or some way, you know, God says, I want you to do this. Okay, this is his calling to you or his direction to you. Verse 13, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. So you see the collision? Fear and faith are colliding. Right now, this fear of what God wants him to do, and it's colliding with his faith. So he has to decide what he is going to do. Now, Ananias, let's be clear, justifiable faith. And so Ananias had to make this decision that you and I have to make every single day when we come to a situation that causes us fear, unsettledness, anxiety. And that decision is this. Will you let faith or fear rule your heart? That's the question. Which is ruling your heart? And in this situation, would Ananias let a justifiable fear? Like, I mean, you want me to go? This guy was killing Christians. And you want me to go? You see why he's justifiable in that? You want me to go and lay hands on this guy? And his choice of faith to rule his heart or fear to rule his heart would determine his next steps. Fear ruling his heart would have left him exactly where God spoke to him, in his own home. Fear would have left him there. Faith ruling his heart is what we see happen. And that moves him forward in faith to do what God has called him to do. And sometimes it's a call like this. It might be to a career. It might be to serving in the church. And that's what's happening for you. And then other times it might just be in obedience to the scripture. Forgive that person who hurt you. And when you think about going to them and saying that you forgive them as they've asked, but maybe you haven't wanted to, and you go in and the thought of you going to forgive them creates that fear in your heart. That happens, right? So if fear is going to rule my heart, that's going to keep me from moving to that person to ask them for forgiveness. If fear is ruling my heart. So God calls us to these things every day. As one writer says, here's what it looks like, faith over fear. Because of my awe of God, too good, and faith in him and his power, I will walk toward the thing I would normally run from, putting myself in his hands by obeying his call. That's what it looks like. When we're talking about faith rules our heart, walking by faith over fear. Now, let's be clear. Faith does not mean I'll never be afraid of what God's calling me to do. But it does mean that my faith, My faith, not my fear, will ultimately determine my response. That faith will determine my response. Takeaway number two, here's the second thing. Faith over fear means I always move forward. That's what we just talked about, and we see it here in the scriptures, exactly what Ananias did. God calls him, and look at verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And the key thing there is Ananias departed. Right, so he went, he moved forward, he did what moved towards what God was wanting to do because faith was ruling his heart, not fear. Now look, for Ananias, he may have been afraid every step of the way. He may have thought 100 times about turning back. And he may have prayed every step of the way. But he still went. He still went. Because courage is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward in spite of your fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward in spite of your fear. And every step between where he was and where Saul was a step of faith. Moving towards God in faith instead of away from Saul in fear. And as you go, not only do you fulfill that calling that God has for you, I think it moves you closer to God. As you are walking in faith over the fears that you have. Faith over fear means I always move forward. I'm going to move forward in faith. I'm not going to let that fear keep me standing still. I'm not going to let it cause me to move back. I'm going to move forward in faith, trusting God for what he is calling me to do. Let me give you another example of Paul. So this is post-conversion. He's been he's a Christ follower now. God's using him to write most of the New Testament, by the way. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, listen to this. Now it's Paul, who's preached everywhere, who's been persecuted, he's gone through so much. And here's what he says. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. Now watch this, verse 3. And I was with you, and that's a key verse. You underline that if you write in your Bible. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. See that? So the key for the context of our learning today, the key verses right there is in verse one, right this, verse 1 where it starts. It says, and when I came. That's moving. He moved. Now you go back down to verse 3. In weakness and fear and much trembling. But the first part of verse 3, and as I was with you. So he had fear, he had trembling. Paul, of all people, fear and trembling when he's preaching. In weakness. But he still, when I came, when I moved, when I came to you, he still moved forward. When I came. Sometimes it's just little things, I think, that can keep us, you know, from not trusting God, from not letting faith rule our heart. I think about our kids, and I think about, you know, we have 4 kids, most of you know, but some of you may be watching online, or some of you may be guests here watching online as guests. But we have 4 kids, 3 boys who are a year apart, and our oldest is Kayla, who's 27. So the thing I loved watching about Kayla over the years when she was younger, and even now as a young adult, but Kayla, because she was the oldest, and her 3 brothers a year apart younger, because she was the oldest, she always had to face everything the first time, right? The unknown. Right, so kindergarten the first time, church nursery the first time, elementary school the first time, the unknown, middle school, high school, college, youth camp, VBS, children's camp, all these things were new for her. She didn't know, it was the unknown, and she had to step forward in faith, and I watched her consistently, and even that, she steps forward in faith, and she has that fear, she'll tell you, there's things she's anxious about her. But she continued to step forward in faith. Her brothers, they had some of that too, but they were a year apart, so they had each other on the baseball team, the basketball team, at school, things like that. But she had to kind of, it was new ground. And even in small things like that for our kids, you know, let's remember that, you know, what we may think is not a big deal, it's a big deal to them at school. And so when they take that step of faith over fear, we encourage that. We encourage that. That's faith ruling the hearts of our children. Instead of fear. And what does that look like? That means we are continually moving forward. So what appeared to be one of the worst things ever for Ananias, he was getting into, turned out to be one of the best gospel opportunities ever. So God uses one timid believer in Ananias to be an instrument of grace in the life of Paul, who goes on to be this great influencer of the gospel that we are talking about still today. And that's what God does. Even when we're timid, even when we're scared, when we move forward in faith, God does these amazing things through us, for Him, when faith rules over fear. One writer says it this way: the Lord doesn't need you to be strong because He is. He doesn't need you to be a hero because He's the hero. He chooses the timid to go into battle. So as they go, He gets the glory, and we experience His grace. That's what happened with Ananias. He chose faith over fear. That's what happened with Joshua. Let me give you Joshua's story, and I'm going to summarize this one because we just got 10 minutes left. But in Joshua chapter 1, we have this transition of power from Moses to Joshua. You got to believe, man, when God said, hey, it's time for you to take over because Moses died, Joshua had to have some fear in his heart leading all these Israelites. He's following Moses, for crying out loud. I mean, and so in verse 1, Joshua chapter 1, look at this, verse 1 and 2. It says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, my assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm going to them, to the people of Israel. So takeaway number 3 is this with Joshua's story. Faith over fear means I'm confident in my calling because of the one who has called me. These are starting to get a little wordy in these takeaways, but faith over fear means I'm confident in my calling because of the one who has called me. So in other words, because of what God has called you to do, that gives you the confidence to do what He's called you to do because of who He is. That's what's happening here in Joshua chapter 1. So Joshua following Moses. But we see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, who called him to do this. Okay, this is going to lead us to the end here in just a few minutes. That when God calls us, we want to make sure that call is within His, we're going to see in His will, in His word. That is where we experience faith over fear. That's where we experience the power of God. And I want you to know this before we're going to the next takeaway, that what God was calling Joshua to do was a task so big that he could not do it without God. Let me say that one more. That's huge. That's a whole sermon series. What God called Joshua to do, he could not do unless he depended on God. What God called Joshua to do, he could not accomplish in his own strength. That's the place we want to be as a church, that we are attempting and accomplishing great things for God, because we know when it happens, it's only God who did it. That's where you want to be in your life too. But you know why we aren't? Because we're afraid. We're afraid we might fail. So we stand back in fear, and we don't use our giftedness because we're afraid. But faith over fear means I'm confident in my calling because of the one who has called me, because of God who has called me. Let's go to takeaway number 4. Takeaway number 4, faith over fear means that even though I might be afraid of my calling, so what He is leading me to do, what He's calling me to do, my faith in the God who calls me is greater than the fear of what He is calling me to do. My faith in Him is greater than whatever this is I'm afraid of. I'm not allowing that fear to rule my heart. Faith is ruling my heart, so I'm choosing then to move forward in faith. And we see it in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, where He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So God was making this promise to Joshua. And because of who God was and is, Joshua was confident to move forward. He was confident in the one who made that promise, and more so than what it was he was being called to do. So God is saying this to Joshua, and He says this to you and I today and every day. He's saying to Joshua, He's saying to us, I am for you, not against you. I am for you. Move forward in faith. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Faith over fear means that even though I might be afraid of my calling, my faith in the God who calls me is greater than the fear of what he's calling me to do. Take one number five. Faith over fear sees God as responsible for your success. Now, keep this in the context of what we're talking about here, God calling us to specific things to do, in obedience to the scriptures, in relationship, it might even be career, whatever he's calling you to do. Faith over fear sees God as responsible for your success. Now, if you go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, you see that. And we don't have time to take it apart. I'm going to read it, but there's a lot here. I don't have time to take it apart, but you see God promising success. Look at this. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So that's a declaration God is making to Joshua for the Israelites. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So you see, that's God being responsible for Joshua's success. He does the same thing for you when you move in obedience. God says, I'm responsible for your success. He declares what he's going to do for Joshua, just like he declares for us in scriptures what he's going to do when we move forward in faith. Now, here's my part. Here's your part. Here's Joshua's part. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Faith over fear. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So here's the deal. Real quick summary. God's putting all the responsibility on Joshua's calling on himself. He does that for you too when he calls you to go, to move, to step in faith. He calls you to do that. He takes on. So Joshua's mission isn't Joshua's mission. It's God's mission. Joshua's mission isn't ultimately God. Joshua's mission, it is God's mission. Faith over fear sees God is responsible for your success. Let me give you the last two, and then we'll pray together. Take one number six. Faith over fear is found inside the will of God. This is important that you need to keep this in context, okay, this message and what I'm... Faith over fear is found inside the will of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 is where we see that. Only be strong and very courageous. Okay, so faith over fear. Now here's the key. Listen to this. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Okay, so that's obedience to Scripture. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Here's the result. That you may have good success wherever you go. So see, that's where we understand faith over fear is found inside the will of God, into obedience. Right? And so we need to just remember to recognize that we will never experience the power of God outside the will of God, word of God, and way of God. So therefore, you want to make sure it's the call of God. And that's why he's talking about, and we're going to finish in just a minute, takeaway number seven, is it talks about the importance of scriptures. And he's going to talk in just a minute, the next one, about meditating on the scripture. You want to know. See, this is where you have to sort through to make sure it's not your feelings that are driving you. We've talked about this numerous times. That it's the call of God from the script word of God on my life that I step forward in faith, and then I experience the power of God, the faith of God over the fear of man or the fear of whatever is before me. So faith over fear is found inside the will of God. Then takeaway number seven, the last one is this. Faith over fear happens when we center our hearts and our minds on God. Faith over fear happens when we center our hearts and minds on God. And that's how he finishes really this first part of chapter one. Look what he says. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Okay, let's stop right there for a minute. You understand what he said? He said, you need to know the word of God and meditate on it, not just to know it. Not just so you can rattle off all the scriptures. Man, that's a great thing. But you understand he's saying why you need to meditate on it? You see that next part? But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So you come here, you hear me preach, you hear me yell at you sometimes. And this is what God's calling us to do, but it's not just so you hear it. You hear it, so then you can what? Then you can, as he said, then you do what the scriptures say. So then that's why I like to say take away. So you take this away with you today. So when you face this afternoon or tomorrow, when you face a situation that your fear starts to come into your heart, or unsettledness or anxiety, then God brings this truth to your mind. And you're able to say, I'm not going to let fear rule my heart. I'm going to let faith rule my heart. I trust the one who's made the promise greater than what is before me. And so I'm going to move forward in faith. That's the practical, that's a functional theology that we're talking about. Listen, you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. And so this is why he's saying, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So that, this is why you do that, you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Now here's the result, okay, of that. This is the promise from God. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's a declaration from God. Not me. You see, this is the result then. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Verse 9, and then he comes back to it and finishes. It's all over this. Faith over fear is all over these first 9 verses. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. There it is again. Do not be frightened. There it is again. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So faith over fear happens when we center our hearts and our minds on God. What is the answer to your fear today? This is the answer right here. To meditate on the word day and night so that we know the truth of God's word. So then faith rules over fear. I'll finish with this and then I'm praying. In moments of fear, I think what happens, especially I know for me many times, maybe you can relate to this, but in moments of fear, I tend to forget. I think that happens to all of us. In moments of fear, we tend to forget. We tend to forget everything we know to be true about our Heavenly Father and His ability and who He is. And then what happens is our forgetfulness allows our fear to run rampant. And that's when our fear starts to control our life. That's when our fear starts to get strongholds on our life. That's when our fear starts to rule our heart, because we forget. But when we choose to remember who God is, then we begin to find victory. Then we begin to find faith over fear. Psalm 105, verse 5, I'll finish with this. Remember the wondrous works He has done. Faith over fear. Let's pray together. Will you stand with me as we pray? Let's pray together and let's just take a breath, take a moment, just kind of pause for a minute. That's a lot to share with you today. But I believe that there's something, you know, just something that God is going to press into your heart today that you've heard, that He is going to press into your heart today. I always like to say, even if it's just one thing that you take today, that's victory, that's a win. And so in this moment, we're just pausing and we're reflecting and we're letting the Lord speak, and we're going to respond through worship. So Father, I'm thankful for just for who you are that gives us that faith over fear. And I pray that today, in this time, just reflection and invitation, that we're remembering your faithfulness in our own lives, just how you've been faithful to us so many different ways. I pray that can, you just bring that back to our hearts and minds. Your faithfulness to us and our families over these, gosh, weeks, months, years. You are a faithful God. We are grateful. And then the faithfulness of you in the scriptures, we see that. May that stir our hearts to where we find this victory over any fears that we have. And for whatever we face, tomorrow, this week, it makes us, when we think about it right now, Lord, it makes us anxious or afraid. From our time together today, as we're worshiping you and as we're centering our mind on you and your word, I pray, God, that we choose to let faith rule and reign in our heart and not fear. And we step forward in faith. So we respond now to you, Father, with worship. Just for who you are and all you've done, we're grateful in Jesus' name.